time parameters?
9 minutes.
Hello and welcome to DS9 Minute, the green shirt minicast that discusses an episode of Deep Space Nine in less time than it takes for Julian to go from caring doctor to creepy incel. I am Cameron, who along with Rob Campbell just feels emptiness and loneliness where DS9 should be.
What are you calling a creepy incel?
But here with 8 lifetimes of DS9 experiences and memories, Bobby Blue.
What's up, y'all?
And John T. Bolds.
Hey, glad to be here for some invasive procedures.
That's what we watch. So, producer John, let's get up in those guts.
All right. 9 minutes starting now.
Another evacuation already. I hope this was like 2 days after everyone got back from the last evacuation, last episode, which really makes me wonder, like, how is O'Brien still married after sending Keiko and Molly off while he remains in danger again? Like, I have to do all the dishes and laundry if I have a podcast 2 times a week.
Good point.
A skeleton crew on the DS9. How convenient that equals featured cast entirely. Don't you think you feel a little left out if you were somebody else on the, like, another station employee that just like, oh, they always get to do it.
Same thing. I could be helpful here.
Right.
Yep.
I don't buy that Odo doesn't see the blinking, flashing light thing on the wall. Like, that's highly improbable. It's pretty big. And you'd think anytime as soon as you have a suspicion about Quark, you would run just a security check, like, station-wide.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So O'Brien has 2 brothers. I'm guessing they're Feet O'Brien and Yards O'Brien, right?
Oh.
Right?
All right.
Kilo That's O'Brien. Speaking of that scene, like, I just love that O'Brien is in the background watching Odo and Quark and just thinking, man, you can cut the sexual tension here with a plasma torch. That is the worst O'Brien impression you will ever hear.
Maybe one day it'll be as good as your Picard. I do like when the Klingon calls Odo just shifter and the fact they put him in a little box makes me think that one day Odo could, like, go into a genie's lamp and mess around with somebody. He could, like, rub a lamp and Odo comes out.
Just changelings. I love this.
I love it. Yeah.
Well, we have more plasma disruptions and crystallization threats. Seems like these two things come up over and over and over again, almost comically in Star Trek.
Quark is awfully calm once the hijackers have taken over, and he has 0 friends on the station at that point. Like, dude, why are you just standing with your back to any doors right now?
Why is Dax so giddy about them possibly needing to make an emergency escape on a shuttle while the station gets destroyed? She just seemed really happy about that, like she was hoping to win a bet or something.
Varad did his research to figure out which symbiont he would be most compatible with, which I like to assume was a BuzzFeed quiz that he did. which symbiont is best matches with you? Yeah.
I'm a little confused why there's 2 Klingons helping the Trill. Also, it seems really strange that everybody knows how to access, like, the space station control centers. Like, isn't that kind of protected, secure knowledge at all?
Yeah, the Cardassians sold it off. And with that, Bobby, I would say Yeddo is maybe the least convincing Klingon ever.
Like, I loved him.
Oh, man. I don't know.
He was so fun.
He just seemed like he was phoning it in the whole time. I don't know. When he was threatening Quark, I was like, are you bored? Did you want to be?
He was bored. That's what I loved about it. He was like, why are we here? This is not honorable mercenary work. Who's the Trill guy? I forgot his name already.
Varada.
Anyway, Varada. It's the Gremlins 2 and Scrooge guy. And I'm just like, I want there to be an alternate timeline where he kept the Dax symbiote and then went back in time and was just all those super confident, sleazy villains he played in the 80s and 90s.
Yep.
Varad often complains about this, and he says, a life of mediocrity, which is what I've titled Cameron's autobiography. Of course, the life of mediocrity, the Cameron Harrison story.
I thought about that joke. Sorry. I was like, no, I got to leave it for Rob. He's going to make that joke.
It's too obvious.
Against me, probably, yeah.
I'm a hack.
Quark seems to be getting away with some pretty incredibly dangerous security breaches. 2 episodes in a row with Quark being a greedy fuck. It's almost like maybe Quark's becoming too likable of a character and they got to throw in some of his greedy fuckery again.
Yeah, they still don't know what to do with him here in early season 2. Julian Glover usually plays somebody so smug and smirky that, like, he plays the unsure and lacking confidence part of the character so well. Mm-hmm. Like, he was an inspired choice for this, for playing the dual roles.
Yeah.
He was good. John Glover, I think, right?
John?
John or
Julian? Yeah, yeah. Julian Glover is the old guy from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
That's right.
I love Donnie. I loved, never mind. Go, Keith, go.
I liked a lot that Quark used a coin for to enact his whole plan. Like, that was some nice, little nice touch there.
Yep.
But I was expecting more from him. Like, he's the one part that I'm like, this needs wrapped up. Why is he going to be in the next episode, not in prison, just walking around free? Like, I don't understand why he had to lower the defenses if he didn't know that they were going to be hostage takers. Like, yeah, there's a lot of questions with the Quark storyline.
Yeah.
And I don't think they gave him enough of a redemption arc there.
Yeah.
Yes. I was trying to think of Danny and Donald Glover. That's what I was. I couldn't come up with Danny Glover. What if Bashir, when he was taking the symbiont out, did a little sleight of hand and instead put a gourd, like just a squash into. He's like, switches it with a gourd and puts it into.
Just a bunch of banana slugs glued together.
I really like the actress that plays Muriel, but I don't understand how she wouldn't have done a little bit more research about trolls. I mean, I know that Barad saved her from her Akama hoardation house. But is he really in love with her, or is he just looking for a loyal comrade to help him find this symbiont?
No, clearly it was the latter.
We spent a lot of time focusing on healing O'Brien's injury, and I only think that had to be because Kira and Muriel were practicing their fight because she kicked the shit out of Kira in that little fight.
Oh, man. The fights in this episode, guys, Sisko goes full Kool-Aid Man, and I am here for it.
Yep.
I like that the bad guys finally didn't just let their hostages talk and plan an escape like every other Star Trek hostage taker. But what I have taken from this episode is that if I'm ever being held at gunpoint, I can just start as many fistfights as I want and not worry about getting executed at all. I can just do whatever I want to them.
Full Kool-Aid Man means to crush through a wall and leave a hole shaped like your body, right?
Okay, Kool-Aid Man is sounding funnier than hulking out.
Okay, sure. I did want to know what a mindless Tagla was, a mindless Tagla, which I looked up and is, of course, just a mindless life form, probably native to a Klingon world, which lets itself be slaughtered, probably non-sentient.
Nice.
Thank you. Okay.
This episode kind of makes me question just the ethics behind symbionts and trills. You know, like, if you're only looking for 10% of the best humanoid trills to join, is that really beneficial to the trill culture? Does it create...
Oh, there are some... questions there. Yeah. I think the trill have like scammed their way up the ladder on the slug part.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So maybe that's the true invasive procedure.
Yeah. I will say, for all of Star Trek that I've seen so far, these guys might pull off playing the best ragtag amateur group of criminals I've ever seen. Like, I really buy it the whole time. Like, yeah, these guys are just here for a job and are not a cohesive team. And I love it.
I dig it. Yeah, I liked all them. Tim Russ, we haven't mentioned yet, is one of the Klingons and just he's getting his ass beat left and right in his pre-Voyager Star Trek roles. I hope he really gets to kick some ass as a Vulcan next series.
Yeah.
I agree that the ragtag team is believable as a non-cohesive team. What is unbelievable is the fact they're winning this whole time and not outsmarted sooner. There's a lot of unbelievable. I have a lot of unbelievable parts about this episode that I can't totally get into, but it's hard. This squad, I don't understand how they're so successful.
Favorite thing about this episode is just the Quark springing on the Klingon's back and, of course, his wacky crying. It's so fucking funny.
Yes.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. Quark is really good at the Ferengi crying. Muriel's leather outfit is cool as hell. It looks fantastic.
Tim Russ's jerkin also I really liked.
Good costumes.
Muriel, this note is for an audience of one, and I don't even think Marcy listens to this podcast, but Muriel is rocking the Toph Beifong bouffant this episode.
Yes, she is. Yep.
I kind of wish that this was like Ocean's 11 style heist squad instead of what they did. It would be nice if they were like a smooth squad that like, you know, had Danny Ocean on it. That'd be even better.
This is really nitpicky, but they always say like gold pressed latinum. Is there like gold press or is there like silver pressed latinum? Like, I know it's a liquid, has to be turned into a solid so it can be used for currency, but why not just say latinum sticks or latinum goo or latinum?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You just have to keep watching DS9. Trill stomach pouch is gross. And did John Glover have to come so hard when he was joining?
Is getting a trill taking the limitless drug?
Yes.
other things I couldn't believe, like, yeah, why steal from this? Because of the Federation's going to be after you all of a sudden. Like, this is just, that's not believable. Quark's forgiveness, not believable. Lots of it. Go, Bobby.
I don't got anything now. Sorry.
Okay, we're good. That's fine.
You're unbelievable.
Despite my nitpicking, I another really good episode from DS9. I think I did enjoy it quite a bit. It was fun and had some good Trill backstory.
I just the second time did have to. I'm like, Quark's dumb. Like his lie about it being his brother that he's crying about for 3 hours. Like right there, like moment one. I don't buy it. Sorry.
It was some fun banter with like O'Brien though. Like I like how he kind of pulled O'Brien in. And
I think it's a better episode than it seems, but it suffers because it comes right after such a good trilogy of episodes. Like, I think if it didn't come right after those, I would think it is better than it is.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I see that a trope of DS9 is going to be just like constantly getting all the civilians or all the children or all like of a certain group off the station so they can have something bad happen to the station. Yeah. Like, does this happen a lot in this series?
I don't think it's quite as often.
We'll start a count.
It doesn't keep happening.
Yeah. We'll start.
But yeah, we should start a count. Yeah.
Well, tune in next week for Gambit Part 2 over on Green Shirt, and then we'll be back with more DS9 to see why they're evacuating the station again the following week.
And we'll see if Quark gets in trouble.
Speaking of evacuations, bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.